come in.
I was glad to see Mom and Jackson, with my sister trailing behind them. Mom knew about Peter, which was a relief, and she and Jackson gave Eli their condolences. Mom asked the questions I'd been longing to ask. She made it seem natural to want to know where Peter would be buried, if Eli's family had a plot in San Diego, or if the Segundo Mexia Cemetery would be a possibility. It was hard to believe they were talking about Peter. I had watched Peter turn from an impulsive kid into a likable and responsible young man. I had seen him love my sister. He had always been kind to me. He had always enjoyed every moment he had of life after his father had died, and he would have had many happy years, I was sure. Now Peter would be dust. I tried to imagine Peter with Eli's unborn baby. He would have been a good uncle. Felicia came to sit on the side of the bed. She hadn't made up her mind about their relationship. Now she'd never have to. I could see that was making her more miserable rather than less. I could not even begin to measure the grief Eli was suffering. He and Peter had stood together against their father and their older brothers. They had balanced each other. Now, Eli did not know what to do without his brother in the same world. All the construction noise downstairs was scratching at my nerves.
Eli, can we go home?
I'm not sure that's a good idea. She doesn't look like she can walk that far.
She needs to be in her own place, Kendall.
I wanted to go home so badly I could scream. I felt so up and down. I was alive. Eli had returned and he would stay with me. But Peter was dead. And Felicia had killed her aunt for tricking my sister into killing me. Wait. She'd said she'd pushed Isabella off the balcony. Did that mean Isabella was for sure dead? I don't know how we three made it up the hill to the cabin. Eli helped, carrying me part of the way. Felicia gave me shoves of magic when I walked. When we reached it, we had no visitors of any sort, and it was quiet. Chrissy's children hushed the minute they saw us. Maybe our appearance was enough to scare them silent. We were all stained bloody. I made my way to our bed and lay down and waited for my muscles to quit screaming at me. A little later, Chrissy brought over two largemouth bass her husband had caught, which was very handsome of her. I had been forgiven for frightening her. Chrissy came into the bedroom to talk to me for a minute, and she told me the names of the townspeople who had been killed the night before. Horst was one of them. They hadn't been able to stop the bleeding in his shoulder, and he had gone into convulsions and quit breathing. I hadn't even asked Jackson how Horst was doing. I felt ashamed. Annie Lee Wilkins, a classmate of mine who made extra money by sewing, had gotten hit by a stray bullet. John Seahorse had been hit in the head by one of the soldiers, shattering his skull. Emmy inherited, Chrissy said with some surprise. She kept on going. A ne'er-do-well named Taylor Benitez had been found dead in an alley, but that might have been a case of someone who'd been mad at Taylor taking the opportunity to settle a score. I waited, but Chrissy didn't mention any guest of the Antelope being among the dead. Felicia hadn't found Isabella's body. The pile of dead soldiers was testament to how tough citizens of Segundo Mexia could be. But all that death begged the question, why had we been attacked? I heard the craziest rumors in the days following. The dead men and women were all from New America, and they had been attempting to annex land to the south of their border. The dead men and women had all been from the Holy Russian Empire, and they had been charged with bringing Eli back to trial for some unspecified crime. The dead men and women had all belonged to a sort of consortium of bandits, and they had wanted to seize our town for their hideout. The night before he left to accompany Peter's coffin back to San Diego, Eli told me what he knew. The small army had been recruited from people who'd been evicted from other military groups. Some from the New America Militia, a peacekeeping force that was only sometimes on the side of law and order. Some from the people who could not abide the discipline of being in any one of the Holy Russian Empire military groups, border police, royal bodyguards, police department, and so on, and some from convicted gunslingers who wanted out of jail enough to volunteer. They'd targeted Segundo Mexia because it seemed like a good location for their permanent base. Not too far south of New America, not too far north of Mexico, and a good distance away from the HRE, which had a notoriously long arm. Using our isolated town as their center of operations, the American Security Force had planned to gradually increase their holdings, absorbing the nearby towns until they were a force to be reckoned with. A private army. Eli and I were in our bed together, and though I was too tender and pained for any demonstration of love, talking privately one-to-one was just as good. I'd had a good long look at a future without the companionship of Eli. That future had been bleak.
But who led them? Who funded them? This wasn't a cheap operation.
I can't be sure, but two people who were investigating told me they felt Iron Hand had a stake in it.
I can't imagine a private investigating and security firm planning to take over part of the country.
It does seem like a huge waste of money. But just imagine that you worked for Iron Hand. They would have loved to have you, you know that. Then just imagine that the best gunnies and most reckless Grigoris joined them too, with enough cannon fodder to enforce the rules.
They'd be running things in no time. Not me, because I don't want to. But lots of people who feel left out would want to join up. They get some power and some say-so.
Eventually, Iron Hand would make enough money to offset the expenses. The only country with enough army to face them down is the HRE or Canada.
I started to argue, but then I realized he was right. Dixie's too poor to have a great army. I don't think they'd be keen to fight unless they were protecting their home ground. New England? They wouldn't care unless it was right at their border. And this army wouldn't go up as far as Canada or as far south as the denser part of Mexico.
Easy pickings here. It's a poor part of the former United States, but there are minerals here that are probably worth a lot. Silver and copper, for example.
Huh.
We lay together in silence. I could hear a faint snore from Felicia's room. She would be going back to San Diego with Eli to complete her schooling and become an accredited Grigori. The wizard's ball would be in 7 months. That would determine her future unless she had another idea, which was entirely possible. I felt sleep pulling me down, but I had one more thing to say to my husband.
Eli, if you ever do decide to leave me, tell me to my face.
You have my word. Why?
It made me crazy not knowing. I had no reply for people wondering where you were. And my heart hurt.
You're getting very flowery in your maturity, Elizabeth.
Imagine being in my place, having no idea where you were, why you'd left, if you intended to return.
I'd go crazy. You know I would. I really didn't think my goodbye was open to a different interpretation, but I know now that I was not clear at all.
This isn't what you foresaw when you looked at your future.
No, it isn't. But I didn't know my traitorous father might sink my boat, so to speak, and he did. Also, I didn't know I would get lucky and meet an incredible woman.
Who wouldn't feel warm and cozy after hearing that?
I'm glad to hear you say so. I know you feel your ability isn't being used to its highest level here and now, but there is time for that to happen. In the meantime, the magic you work is really helping people here. That has to feel at least a little bit good.
Feels a lot good. And we'll stand by your sister during the ball. Make sure she finds the right person.
I was pretty sure Felicia could handle that herself, but I wasn't going to turn down a chance to be on hand. Jackson had brought me the newspapers that day, and I had read them page by page.
Have you heard about this crazy man in Germany?
We'll talk about him another time. His name is Hitler.
Gunny Rose 5, All the Dead Shall Weep by Charlaine Harris is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2023, Charlaine Harris. All rights reserved. Recorded with the permission of the author. Production copyright 2025, Graphic Audio LLC. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Narrated by Colleen Delaney and Amanda Forstrom. With Colleen Delaney as Lisbeth Rose and Amanda Forstrom as Felicia. Also with Drew Kopas, Chris Stinson, Kimberly Gilbert, David Quiqui, Stefan Walker, Steve Winall, Stephanie Namet Parker, John Vertulo, Michael John Casey, Arden Winall, Nora Sofian, Adrian Garcia, Chris Davenport, Rainer Gabriel, James Lewis, Eric Messner, Nazia Chaudhry, Troy Allen, Jessica Schley, Wynn Delano, and Scott McCormick. Adapted for Graphic Audio by Crystal Judkins. Directed by Crystal Judkins. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Jameson Hunt. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers, Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. If you want more passionate full-cast audio westerns, keep listening for a sample of Smoke Jensen, The Beginning. Available now in Graphic Audio.
They rode west and north for several days across seemingly endless plains of tall grass with no sign of human inhabitation. Then they came across a pile of rocks that had not been arranged by nature.
Pa, look at those rocks.
Some of the mountain men I met told me about them. That's what I've been looking for.
What is it?
It's a sign telling travelers that this here is the Santa Fe Trail. North and west of here will be Fort Larned. And north of that will be Pawnee Rock.
Pawnee Rock? What's that, Pa?
Pawnee Rock will be a landmark, Pilgrim.
Turning toward the one who had spoken, Kirby saw, without a doubt, the dirtiest man he had ever seen. The man was dressed entirely in buckskins, from the moccasins on his feet to his wide-brimmed leather hat. A white, tobacco-stained beard covered his face. His nose was red, and his eyes twinkled with mischief. He was mounted on a spotted pony, and he had two pack animals with him, which he walked up to the two Jensens.
Ain't no Pilgrim, old-timer.
I reckon you're right there.
Where did you come from?
I've been watching you two Pilgrims from that ravine over yonder. You don't know much about traveling in Injun country, do you? You know it's best to stay off of the ridges. You two been standing out like a third titty.
The old mountain man shifted his gaze to Kirby.
What you staring at, boy?
Be darned if I rightly know.
You got sand in your bottom. He yours, mister?
My son.
Well, I'll trade for him. Injuns will pay right smart for a strong boy like this one.
My son is not for trade, old-timer.
I tell you what, I won't call you Pilgrim, and you don't call me old-timer. Deal?
Deal.
You don't know where you are, do you?
Yeah, I know.
Well, do you now? Well, just where would that be?
We're somewhere west of the state of Missouri and east of the Pacific Ocean.
In other words, you're lost as a lizard.
If you got no particular place to go, you ain't never lost.
Well, now, you do have a point there. You got names?
I'm Emmett. This is my son, Kirby.
Folks call me Preacher.
You're a preacher?
Boy, did you hear me say that I was a preacher? I said, that's my handle. That's what folks call me. What are you laughing at, boy?
I'm laughing at your name.
Don't you scoff, boy. It ain't nice to scoff at a man's name. If I wasn't a gentle tap, I might let the hairs on my neck get still.
Preacher can't be your real name.
Well, no, you're right about that. But I've been called Preacher for so long, I've near about forgot my own Christian name. So Preacher it's gonna be. Bad or nothing.
Well, it was nice talking with you. But I reckon we'll be going on now, Preacher. Maybe we'll see you again.
Preacher's eyes shifted to the northwest, and then they narrowed, his lips tightening in a weird smile.
Oh, yeah. I reckon you will.
Emmett turned his horse and pointed its nose west-northwest. Kirby reluctantly followed. He would have liked to stay and talk with the old man. Soon, they were out of earshot.
Pa, that old man was so dirty, he smelled.
He's a mountain man, some away from home base, I'm figuring. More than likely trying to get back. Cantankerous old boys they are. Some of them mean as snakes. I think they get together once a year and bathe.
But you said you soldiered with some mountain men.
I did, but they didn't stay that long. They had to get back to the High Lonesome.
Where's the High Lonesome?
It's more of a condition than a place. Men like Preacher stay up in the high country for years, don't do nothing but trap and such. They won't see another human being for a year or more, and not a white man more than once every 2 years or so. All they've got is their horses and guns, and the whistling wind, and the silence of the mountains. They're all alone, and it does something to them. They get notional, funny acting.
You mean they go crazy?
In a way, I'm thinking. I don't know much about them. Nobody does, I don't reckon. But I think maybe that most of the folks who go off and live like that don't like people all that much to begin with. They crave the lawlessness of open space. The mountain men I was with, now, they were some different. They told me about that old man's kind. They're very brave men, son. Don't ever doubt that. Probably the bravest in the world. They got to be to live like they do.
Kirby looked behind them.
Pa, that old man is following us. And he shucked his rifle out of its boot.
The preacher galloped up to the pair, his rifle in hand.
Now don't get nervous. I ain't the one you need to be afeard of, but I do believe we fixin' to get ambushed.
Ambushed by who?
Well, Kiva would be my thinking, but they could be Pawnee. My eyes ain't as sharp as they once was, but I seen one of them stick his head up out of the wash over yonder. He's young, or he wouldn't have done that. But that don't mean that the other ones with him is young.
How many?
Well, I don't know. In this country, one is too many. But I do know this, we better be getting. Now, if memory serves me right over yonder, over that ridge, there's a little creek between the stand of cottonwoods with an old buffalo waller in front of it.
Preacher looked up, stood in his stirrups, and cocked his shaggy head.
Well, here they come, boys. Get going. Pyah!
The old man slapped Kirby's bay on the rump, and they were galloping off.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles in genres like science fiction, fantasy, romantasy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.